Everybody, I'm Babs Rose Ivy. That's Harry Jones. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. Still kind of damp and gray in the Elm, Harry. It's gray. Perfect vampire weather, I think. Harry, you don't help sitting in the dark in all blackness. And I think you're frozen. Are you frozen? Oh my God. If Harry's frozen, that means I'm about to dip out. Happening.
Hello?
Yeah. You're frozen now.
Yeah, I'm coming in and out right now. I'm gonna have to dip out, so I'll be right back.
I'm here. So let me just tell you, I had a wonderful conversation. I met up with Nicholas Davidoff at Pistachios. By the way, Pistachio is tricked out beautifully. It's like Marrakesh meets Paris. I love it. Anyway, they got a whole other side. You could sit in a salon and have conversation and food, or you could sit and have food, more food. I mean, it's just a wonderful, they just tricked out that space. High five, Lotta Studio, for the vision. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Although, I do need them to have more vegan things. Everything in there is beautiful, but they don't have any vegan stuff. I really have to insist. You know, in this day and age, you should have vegan stuff. Now, they do carry vegan baklava, but they were out of it. So that, I have to tell you, it's popular, FYI. But I did have some other vegan thing, which was yummy and interesting. Eastern food is the mood, let me tell you. So anyway, Nicholas Davidoff, hope I'm saying that right, is a very famous writer, very prolific, and a great conversationalist. I had such a good conversation with him. I hadn't expected to spend 2 hours with him. I was just showing up for 2:30 and I go and meet my 3:30 appointment. But we ended up chatting 2 hours and laughing and talking like we were old friends. You know, he's working on a particular project that somebody connected him to me. I thought it was Paul, but it wasn't Paul. It was somebody else. And I'm so glad whoever connected me to him did, because it was such a rich conversation. And then he sent me a lovely note saying, thank you for the time. And I sent him pictures of the porch because he had heard about the porch. He, like so many, I was like, yeah, I want to come on the porch. Love it. The porch really doesn't need me. The porch has its own life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to be there and the porch exists, right? Like, I don't have to physically extend an invitation. The porch does that on its own. So the porch should have its own social media site. Who's on the porch today? Rev Kev, that should be the podcast. Who's on the porch? Woo! It was such a rich... It's been a long time since I had that good of a conversation with somebody where not only did we just talk about stuff, but I learned some things. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can talk to people and you don't learn a damn thing, except whatever. And not every conversation is about a learning opportunity, but this one had all the right elements of what I call a rich conversation. And I got to share some things that he didn't know, which you know, for somebody who's doing research, was good. You know, so I just enjoyed the conversation. So I don't know if he's listening this morning. Thank you. I brought him some issues of Inner City. I brought him the one with Betts on the cover, Dwayne Betts on the cover, who is his bestie. So that was good. And he's going to give it to him. Because I was meaning to give Dwayne a call. I have not gotten around to it. I mean, it's just been hectic. And he just got the MacArthur Fellow thing a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago. So I kind of wanted some of that hoopla to die down. You know, because I'm sure everybody was coming at him, you know, like he's a rock star. And he is. So there's that. But I just, you know, so Nikki is going to deliver the paper for me. So I didn't even ask him if he would go. He signs off as Nikki. So I just I don't even know if I know any Nikki. I know some girl Nikki's. I don't know any guy Nikki's. So I think he's my first guy Nikki. Nikki, don't lose my number. I know it's Ricky, but in this instance, I'm saying Nikki. So anyway, that was a good conversation. My great love, Azaria Samuels from the Schubert, formerly of the Long Wharf Theater, tracked me down yesterday in the monsoons in the Nor'easter to bring me flowers from the Schubert and two notes from her and Demetrius and from the Schubert, which everybody signed, which was lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank y'all for that. And Laura Papano, who is the recent former chair of the Long Wharf Theater Board, sent me two books on grief, and grieving, finding the meaning of grief through the five stages of loss, and finding meaning, the sixth stage of grief. So, both of these books are by David Kessler. So I'm going to read them in a bit. My nephew's funeral is not till Wednesday. My brother called me yesterday to tell me, but you know, my brother couldn't give me details because, you know, men never give you details the way that my sister-in-law would give me details. So I'm going to wait to see. He just said when they have a date, but he didn't give me a time or place. Never send men to do the work of women. And when I mean work of women, everything in the world. I'm sorry. I know that's so prejudicial and biased as hell, but it is true. I know of no man who can get it right the way women get it right. I just don't. So there might be some out there, but I don't know them. So I will. It would be in my best interest to move through this grief with some support, so that I'm not stuck. And I can feel myself being stuck in this. And I see it. I can feel the withdrawal. I feel it. And I know better. I know better not to dwell too long in this space. So as long as I have that awareness, I will automatically move to higher ground. Like I'm conditioned and trained to move myself to higher ground. I'm just dwelling a little bit longer in the valley of sorrow because it just hurts so much. And I'm not ready to let that hurt go because it feels like if I let it go, it's a bit of a betrayal to my nephew. And I want to dwell in that loss a little bit. Not forever. I know better. I know how to, I know I'm conditioned to rise. Believe me, I am. I'm conditioned to rise. It is a habit I formed many, many years ago, when I was a much younger woman and facing all kinds of crises. So I know that I am deliberately staying in the place of sorrow just for a little bit longer. It serves me at the moment. It serves me. And then just like that, I will the higher ground. So anyway, that was my yesterday. Oh, and after I hung out with Nikki, I had to run over and meet up with who did I meet up with? Cesar Alemán, the new equity inclusion for the Community Foundation for New Haven. So we met up with him. I was like, he got there 3:00. I didn't get there till 10:04. But he got out of his meeting early and so he had time to kill. So he just chilled out and ate a little something. I got there. But I did get to spend a good hour and some minutes with him. Drank some beers, talked a little bit, talked a great deal, and it was good. It was a good conversation. Another good conversation about community, about BIPOC, about respect, about trust. It was great. It was a rich conversation. The beginning of many conversations I hope to have with him. So it was good. I mean, yesterday, even though it was a nor'easter happening outside, I was walking through, connecting, still connecting. Oh, so, yeah. Good. It was good. It was good. That means, guess what? I'm Kim Possible. What is it? Kim Possible, Ron Unstoppable. Kim Possible, Ron Unstoppable. Love Kim Possible. My kids was a fan, so I watched with them and I loved it. Love Kim Possible. So I'm drinking matcha tea today. I've been on this tea drink every morning, which has been really, really nice. I would prefer coffee, but I never have time to make coffee. And I don't know why. Well, I could just get up, put the thing in, do it, and then. But there's something, I think there's something ceremonial for me about the tea. I will have coffee later, because that's what I've been doing, having a little coffee later in the morning. I don't like coffee after 12. It's not my thing. But I'll have this, I'm having matcha today. So I'm just trying to drink all the tea. And, you know, I don't like things in my tea. I just like it plain. I don't like honey or there's cream or any of that. So I'm just going to drink it how I like it. Strong black. Oh, matcha. Strong and matcha. But yeah, so I believe this is beneficial. Teas are beneficial. When I was a young woman, when I was a kid, I was a heavy tea drinker. And because I had an auntie, my Aunt Jen, was a tea drinker. Like tea drinking with like China cups, the whole nine. So when I go over there, that would be our ritual. We'd brew up some tea, sit, and be civilized together. Honest to God, my Aunt Jen was such a, you know, it was Martha Stewart before Martha Stewart, before even Martha Stewart. My Aunt Geneva just had a fine sense of how to be, you know, very ladylike, grace and manners. She had a lock on grace and manners. And so that's what I loved about her, because she just taught me how to be, have manners and grace. And so I, you know, so that has followed me and has served me through my whole life. So I don't know if I ever told her, but I always, she doesn't listen to me. Listen to me at all, but I wanted to know, and I guess I have to tell her this myself, how all those moments spent with her at her place, her house in her home, drinking tea, was one of the highlights of my life. It really was. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so it's a blustery day in the neighborhood. Blustery day in the neighborhood. Dreary. It's gray. It's a blustery day in the neighborhood. A dreary day in the neighborhood. But we go on. Yes, we go on. I have always wanted to have a sunny day in October. But it doesn't look like I'll get one until the weekend. I don't know. I guess what I really want to say, that I'm just going to take this day and be happy. Oh, so happy. I took liberties with Mr. Rogers' song because Wednesday, and it's the week. I'm excited to talk to the Elm Shakespeare people because they're doing doing a fright walkthrough. So all you scary people who like to be scared out of your minds, let Elm Shakespeare do their part in scaring the crap out of you walking through Egerton Park. It's a walkthrough. And they say in the walkthrough, if you have mobility issues, don't come. Which, you know, they don't have to tell me twice. First of all, they didn't have to tell me once because I don't like that kind of stuff. So glad I don't have to deal with little kids or teenagers who want to go do that stuff because they would wear me out wanting to go. But if they want to go, they can go on their own time and their own dime. Mama don't gotta take them. I'm not the Uber anymore. So needless to say, I won't be there. But I love the idea of it, right? Like, I love this community that just rises to the occasion, do stuff, you know? Like, if there's things going on, they just say, oh, we could do that. Let's put our spin on it. So I love that. I love that about New Haven. I do. I do. This town is made for a community. Made for community. And I love being a part of community. I came down my street yesterday with three cop cars and an ambulance. I don't know what the hell happened. We have a lot of elderly people on this street. You know, up and down Ivy Street, there's a lot of in pockets, you know, of elderly folks. So I suspect that might have been someone called on someone who was elderly. But I don't know all the particulars. I stopped to inquire. Moved my little car on and got out the way. So that's where we are. What is happening in the kind of I don't even want to talk about that whole Alec Baldwin rest. Because, you know, the more I hear about it, the more annoyed I am. And the more it just makes me think, they just wanted to make a film and didn't give a damn about protocols. Because that's really the feeling I'm getting. You know, particularly when you hire a cat who on two or three other films got smacked for the same thing, you know, who wasn't very good at his job. But yet he's on this project, and now somebody is fatally, someone has lost their life because of his inability to do his job. I mean, that's down to, you know, because at the end of the day, this cat was on two, three other movies and got fired with the same kind of mess. You know, and luckily there were no fatalities, but they were like, you don't know what you're doing. We can't have you on this film. So, I get it. Films are expensive to make. And I think if you cut costs where you cut costs, just like anything, you know, you want to see where you can save a little money. But when you save money to the detriment of some, at the expense of the people who work for you, then that's quite problematic. And you really need to question your daggone, not only just your values, but your morals. And is the making of that film more important then, because you can make a very good film that's safe. Hire all the right people. You know, I get it. I do. Don't get me wrong. I'm making a film now. I'm making two, three films now. And I get it. But that's just my. If you haven't gotten your tickets for the Arts 41, the Arts Council Awards program, November 5th, and it's going to be a Lyman, which I really love the Lyman stage. Yours truly is hosting the red carpet. I love that kind of stuff. And Miss Monk is the hostess of ceremonies. I'm glad it's not me. I did it last year when it was virtual because it needed to be done and in a pinch. And not in a pinch. I mean, I knew I was doing it. They asked me and I was happy to do it. And it was fun. But I'm glad that they chose somebody else. And I get to be on the red carpet doing what I do. Talking and laughing and connecting with people. We'll see. I'm good for that kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I don't even have to stress about what I'm wearing because I have so much stuff that I could wear. No, I am a clothes whore. Can I just tell you? And I'm admitting this. And my girlfriend, Ife, would high-five this. He packed my closet from Bellevue. And she was just stunned by all the tags that were still on. She's like, wait a minute. You have all these. I was like, yeah. You know, because the way my closet was set up, I couldn't really see everything. Well, that's just life. I don't make no apologies. Listen, I had thought, I had this crazy idea some years ago that I would try to be minimalist. Because I was struck by what Markeisha said about her mother and all the things she had to dispose of because of her mother. And so I was quite moved by that. And I thought, oh, I was quite moved by it. I was like, oh, my kids don't have to deal with this. Then I was like, Markeisha's the only child. I have four kids and a whole host of nieces and nephews. All this mess I'm going to leave behind, they're going to have to deal with. I'm not minimalizing nothing. I'm going to put all my things while I'm alive. And when I die, they can do what they want with books, clothes, trinkets, jewelry, mementos. Hopefully I'll have presence of mind to get rid of my sex toys. I can do that myself. I guess I won't need them if I get to 80. If I get to 80, I'll get rid of them. If not, they're in a pink box. Don't open it. Just trash it. I was going to say my girlfriends were disposable, but you know, we're all close in age. I didn't go and find out if that's a thing. Like, what do people do with their sex toys when they're up in age? Like, when you pass, like, what do you do with them? I got lots of them because my girlfriend, Bawdy Books, Korean woman, runs Bawdy Books. And she has a subscription box. So I'm on the I just stopped my subscription because I have too much now. I went from having old stuff to nothing to lots of stuff that I can't figure out how to use. So she has a subscription box. So I'm on the quarterly subscription box. So I get a box four times a year. So now I've been at this for a year and a half, at least since the pandemic, since the beginning of the pandemic. So I've got lots of boxes. And you know, if I meet my untimely demise, someone will have to dispose of those things. Now there's like the majority of the boxes haven't even been opened, haven't even been used. They've been opened, but not used. So, you know, black market, here you eBay, here you come. But what do you do? Like, what do you, do I have to make provisions for that? Like, do I have to have instructions about, all right, you might want to, I think what I need to do is probably put everything in one container. Like, I have a container, but everything is not in one container. So I think what I'll buy myself is a beautiful, it has to be a big enough velvet box, like big enough to hold all the things. I know this is a morning show. I don't think kids are listening to me. If you are, learn now, kids, learn now. So yeah, I don't know. It just struck me funny. I can't be the only one out there that's got toys that would have to be disposed of in my, yeah. Why would I keep using them 80 and beyond? Well, I mean, I think if I keep the subscription going, I would have turnover. Oh, yes. I know what she means. Like, you keep using them. I think so, Ife. I think so. I think I would keep using them. I think that's the idea. Although I have too many people in my house at the moment. Once I get rid of everybody, once everybody flies the nest yet again, once again, everybody flies the nest once again, I'll have freedom to, like, you know, freak on. But right now I can't because it's in the house. And, yeah. All right, though. Plus, you know, the hips weren't ready. But the Tinas are close to ready. The last couple of days, I've been walking around the house without the use of my cane. Although I keep it near. But I walked out of the house yesterday without it. I was like, oh. I was like, no, this weather. These leaves on this ground, Let me take the cane. Let me take the cane. But I'm close to becoming ready to give it up. I think by Thanksgiving, cane will be gone, I think. And I've got 4 more weeks of physical therapy. Because I had thought I was going to go back to strength training with Robert in November, but I have to do a few more weeks. They think I have progressed beyond, you know, beyond what they thought I was going to be. Most people I'm at, like, I think when I walked into last time when I was at physical therapy, I was at 77% mobility when I walked out of there, and they were like, nobody walks out of here beyond, you know, 40. You just went all the way, and you're like, you keep it up, you'll be at 100%. And so my left hip is, you know, strong, because I did go back to weight training after the March surgery. The right hip now is gaining strength. I mean, I'm doing a lot. So, and I feel the difference. Like, I get out of the bed and it's not even a thought. You know, like, I just swing my legs over and I get up. Now I'm like, ooh, okay. You know, but I'm keeping my cane, because they feel like, keep your cane. That hip is not strong. It's strong, but it's not. You're only a month post-op, crazy woman. And you really need a good ways out. So I was like, they're like, give us 8 weeks. September, October, November. Oh, yeah, December. By Thanksgiving, I should be able to give it a name, I think. That's the idea, really. So that's the plan. To move up the cane, and to buy a really nice box for my boys. Yeah, to buy a box for my toys. I'm going to. That just tickles me so. I gotta do it. Let's see. What else is going on? What else do I know? You know what? The New Haven alumni chapter of Delta Sigma Theta. We're having our pre-Halloween party, which I don't even know why it's calling it pre-Halloween. Just call it a Halloween party, because it's not, just because it's not on Halloween. Anything that happens in October that's a party is a Halloween party. Full stop. I don't know why they call it a pre-Halloween party. I get it, because they believe it's pre-Halloween. But October 30th, Saturday, 2 to 6, at the Stoppa Vineyard. And I think that Stoppa Vineyard is in Orange, Derby Avenue in Orange. So I'm not going to go. You know what? The 30th is the anniversary of my mother's death. And I mean, I'm over that kind of stuff. Like, I'm over. But I think I feel not over. Like, not like I don't care about it. But I think because my nephew passing, I'm acutely aware. I'm much more in tune to my mother's passing. I mean, and then Halloween is my brother's birthday, my late brother's birthday. And So my mother was born in October and she died in October. So, and here's the other part of that. I walked out of prison on the 30th. So there's that. I mean, it just has way too many. Now I have to add Duda to this, and it's just, you know what I would do? I think I would spend next October in Greece. You know, I think I'm just gonna spend next October in Greece or Costa Rica or somewhere. I don't know. Can I just do my show from Costa Rica for the month of October. It's just too much. God knows, I hope I don't die in October. There is this thing, though, this phenomenon of people dying on or near their birthday, or near or on their birthdays. I read that somewhere many years ago. And then, so I started paying attention when people die. And I see it over and over and over again. I mean, I can just look at my own family and see who have died close to their birthdays. We do have a bureau there, and there's no military. Bad and Harry take over the world. So, I think I was like, here's the thing. Thank God my birthday is not in October. There's too many things. October is too loaded for me. I treat it like New Year's, though. I really do, because whatever. I treat it like November. So elections are coming up. Make sure everybody's registered to vote. I voted absentee ballot for the primaries. I don't have to do that now. I could actually walk myself to the polls. And it gives me a sense of history and purpose to walk to the polls. Although, Connecticut is like Mississippi and it's like Alabama and its restriction of voting. Like, we should just have absentee voting without a reason. Like, why do we have to have a reason? Like, why do we have to have a reason to have an absentee ballot? Well, can it be because I want one? Like, what is going on? Anyway, that's my TED talk on that. I'm going to walk myself to the polls because, it's just down the street. I mean, I'm not physically going to walk. I'm going to drive my car, get out of my car, walk to the polls. Because when I go to the polls, it's always on my way to somewhere. So I'll do that. So once I get off air, I'll just go to the polls. And I believe we have an election night coverage. So shenanigans for sure to talk about these elections. And there's elections going on. I mean, Hamden is hot and heavy. I don't know what's going on in New Haven. I know my alderman, who I like, I think he's being challenged by somebody I don't know. Some woman. Fine. Which is fine. But I really like him. He is amazing, hardworking guy, and he works with Robin Porter. Anybody works with Robin Porter has got to be on the A game. I'm convinced. Because she is no nonsense. But somebody told me she's not into being vaccinated, which I find that hard to believe, as hard as she is. So I'm gonna have to ask her myself. I just don't believe that she wouldn't be vaccinated. I can't imagine it. Somebody said, oh, she posts anti-vax stuff on her, but I haven't seen any of it. I've not seen any of it. So I'm not gonna speak to it. My friend, so a good friend at that. But we shall see. I'm going to ask her, though. Then if she is, I'm going to drag her. I'm going to put on a ninja costume and go in there and vaccinate her myself. I'm going to bring both doses. Like, listen, we're just going to do this right now. That's what I plan to do. That's what I want to do. So, anyway, what else is going on? Let's see. I'm so distracted. Now I'm like one of these kids with ADD, AHAD. I was looking at stuff and then I wasn't. So what I wanted to look at is the events of what's going on. I told you about the New Haven alumni chapter, their Halloween party, October, Saturday, 2 to 6. I'm not going to that. First of all, Halloween is not my thing. I don't like Halloween parties. I used to love Halloween parties. I love them, but I could endure them. I can't now. And what's my costume is educated black woman. I mean, what's scarier than that? So Books Sandwiched In is next Thursday with Jessica Dorr. And I'm mentioning this because she has a book out, Tarot for Change. I love tarot card readers. It's a fine art. I just love it. I might check that out. The Arts Awards, Art 41, the 41st annual awards that we do from the Arts Council. It's going to be at the Lyman Center for Performing Arts. So it's at 6 o'clock. So come, buy a ticket. They're $41. Come on. You're not going to get that kind of fun, this kind of fun, and do some good, and put some money in the relief fund for BIPOC artists. That's really where all the money is going. So, you know, come on. Put some money in the kitty. Help BIPOC artists. You know what? I think I'm doing a holy cow. I'm leading a walk on Saturday for the Southern Connecticut Black History Archives. Not me, who can barely walk, but they want me to do it, so I'm doing it. I hope people come out and do it. I gotta talk that up. I needed to have them on. I'm sometimes trying to get people on. Some people are just very nervous about on radio. And then, you know, and then we have this component of being Facebook Live. That just adds to people's anxiety. You know, it just adds to people's anxiety about being on. And I don't know how to, I try to get people to understand, you know, when you're in your house and you're on a computer, you can't see the audience. I mean, they can see you, but you can't see them. And so that ought to quell some of that anxiety. You know, but it doesn't. Get very nervous. So the Greater New Haven African American Historical Society is having their first annual Black History Walk fundraiser, exploring Lower Dixwell. And I'm leading it on Saturday at 8:30 a.m. I'm hoping people can come. $15. Come on. Come walk with me for $15. You know, I mean, come on. Seriously, I think you would enjoy it. You would enjoy it. And I'm gonna have Harry put this up too. I'm gonna send it to Harry. I'll have Harry put it up over the next couple of days. I really, really want people to come to this. You know, I'm gonna need a walk. Dad. And that's what it is. So, but yeah, so come. You know what it is? The Historical Society is losing their space over at Southern, and they don't have any place to go. So they're trying to raise some money so they can house their archive somewhere. It would be really, I have a dream. I hear that the Varick Church is up for sale, like a great museum. Now, I don't know where the Varick people would go. They'd have to build. Yes. Are people building churches? Churches all over. Pick another church. But I just feel like that would make a great new an African American. I've already whispered it. That happens. Babies. I mean, I know the Concord people are building a theater. I know they're building a theater. You can never have too many theaters. You're too rich or too thin. But, you know, having an additional theater, one of historical nature, would be a bomb in the same. So Eric, if you listen, I'd like to check by the church for a museum. Great. And you know, you could have, you know, because Next Haven is around the corner, so you can have more artists in residence. Because I think that's where we need to move toward. It's just I mean, I know we want technology, we want engineers and blah 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 blah. But for me, artists in community is where it's at. Artisan is that, and if we do that, that would be that's how you change the world. I think the world changes with artists prominently centered. I like that. So, what a thought. No. So, if you don't have anything to do, we're starting at 8:30. We're going to be in the Stop and Shop parking lot. Come take a walk. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a lot of ibuprofen. So not enough to overdose, but enough to, you know, allow for me to stroll Lower Dixwell. You know, pause. Good trouble. No trouble. Good. So I haven't heard from the folks of this, but I got to check in and see if this walk is still happening. I think it is. I mean, it's not happening. They're committed to this. I'm committed. Words. I can't. Hey, Harry, you back?
Yeah, my camera is beating like a heart right now.
Why?
I love the wind out here.
Wind? Oh, I know. I hope this isn't a precursor to what winter is going to look like.
Yeah, it's really the wind is whipping.
Oh, you? Oh, well, you know, Waterbury is a weird place. Oh, what did I send you? Oh, of Shakespeare or The Walk?
The Walk.
Oh, I was gonna say coming to New Haven for The Walk, okay, but I know you're not gonna do it, so. But you know what? Spend $15 and buy a ticket. Oh. I'm just saying. Oh, you know, we can't have dead air on radio. I'm drinking my matcha tea. I'm drinking matcha tea today, Harry. You know, matcha tea is good for libido. But I don't have a libido problem. But I like a good tea. So I'm sure it has some other properties that, you know, I mean, I'm sure it works on some other things, but matcha tea is, you know, is like matcha chocolate. Like matcha chocolate is good too. I love the matcha chocolate. The matcha chocolate is really yummy. That's what I haven't had in a long time, a little piece of chocolate. I may have to run by Edge of the Woods or Elm City Market. You know what I really want to do is run to Whole Foods and get the scones. They have the best scones. They have the best scones. Maybe I'll do that today so that I'll have scones over the weekend. Because I've been hankering for scones. God knows I know how to make scones, but will I make them? No. But maybe that's what I'll do today, Harry. I'll just take a quick drive to Whole Foods and get some scones so I can have some over the weekend.
Whole food scones. That doesn't sound very appetizing.
What? You don't like scones, Harry?
Great. Yeah, but from Whole Food?
Yeah, because they have vegan ones. They have vegan ones. And they have like two or three different kinds of varieties. I really like them. Yes. Oh, there we go. So if y'all are on Facebook, this is what I want you to do. And there's a link on the bottom. You know, donate. And they're only asking $15. Bring my $15 with me. Or $20. I'll give them a whole 20. I don't know. The weather might be janky, so I don't know. Does it have a rain date?
How long is the walk? Like from your car to the place, or you know?
No, it's to Dixwell, Lower Dixwell. So you know, you're just walking. You're just gonna walk from across the street. You're gonna go from Stop and Shop. Probably gonna walk over, you know, by Sperry or whatever that street is, and then over to by where Webster. You know, walk by Webster, down Dixwell by the Q House, like Lower Dixwell, and then walk back.
You don't have to walk, right? You could just donate.
Yeah, you could just donate the 50. That's fine. Fine. People could do that. Do that. So I have to check with them to see if the weather is going to be okay to do this. You know, I got to get up with them and see what's happening.
Well, you know. Is it?
Saturday.
November 6th. I think the weather should calm down for next week.
Well, this is this week. I think it's supposed to rain Saturday.
That's not this Saturday.
But I don't know. Huh?
That's not this Saturday. That's the next one.
Oh. Next Saturday? Oh, you know, you're right, Harry. That's next Saturday. Oh, that's fine. Oh, that's perfect then. That's even better. That's even better. I got a busy weekend next week. Holy cow. The Arts Awards. We got a lot of guests this week too, Harry. Guess who's coming on at 10? Elm Shakespeare is coming on at the 10:15 hour. Talk about the fright, fear thing. So they're coming on. Talk about the walkthrough at Egerton Park. I'm not doing that. Mercy Quay is on tomorrow at 10:15. And then Friday, OIC. OIC, they're still around. They're graduating students. So I'm going to have them on and have a conversation with them.
I haven't seen Mercy in a while.
I've seen her. I've talked to her. I've talked to her a couple of times. All right. You know, she's grown her organization. Grown her organization and added staff and taking on clients and you know, growing it. So, out there trying to change the narrative on a lot of issues, particularly around, especially around how people of color are portrayed in news. So, good for her. I support that. Baby Babs is out there doing her thing. Good for her. Good for her.
I'm so tired right now. I was up at 3 this morning.
Hey, is there any day that you can come on the show where you feel good? In the years that we've been doing this, you have yet to say, you know what, I feel pretty good today.
I feel good right around right before noon, start feeling good, but then it's all downhill after like 12:30.
Why? Like, what makes you feel good toward 11?
No, because everything doesn't hurt as you know. It takes a while for my body not to be in that morning hurt.
Oh, what time do you get up?
Like, it all depends. Anywhere from 5:30. Like this morning, I was up, but on a regular day, I'll be up at anywhere from 5 or 5:30.
Gosh. All right. That's not bad.
That's usually, not bad. It's not by choice.
Okay.
We're up before the alarm.
Fine. You got soccer this weekend? No, it's raining this weekend.
Probably not good.
Like, no, we can't have the babies out there.
I'm gonna skip it anyway.
Oh, really? How you gonna do that? How you gonna explain that to the girls?
That Papa is.
Oh, okay. All right. Just tell the truth. Don't lie to them. Because they'll see you at the store somewhere.
That's funny. And once again, you know, I think it was, I was sneezing and everything. I was blaming Paul because Paul was sneezing.
Oh.
So.
I can't verify that or anything because I was not there.
Paul, verify it on your Paul. Verify it on your thing. He's gonna say he had an allergy or something.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm gonna institute rules that way.
Okay.
Not me. If I'm not sick, I shouldn't have to wear. Sick.
Well, you know what? You should wear a mask so you don't breathe in. It'll filter. It'll stop some of the particles. Is that a Yahoo?
Quick. That's quick.
How much sugar is in that? How much calories is in that?
But it says 14 grams of protein.
But how much sugar?
We're not going to look at that part.
Well, that's the part that makes the sense.
14 grams of protein.
No, how much sugar and added sugar? Sugar and added sugar. Because that's the problem.
Those words are too small for me to read.
Well, they're not.
I can't help you with that one.
See, look at that. Denial. Denial. Can't be in denial. All right, so it's coming up on the 10 o'clock hour. Guess we have to change over, don't we?
Yeah, and give you a PSA.
Hey, get vaccinated.
Now then.
Stop the spread of COVID-19. To you and to your loved ones. Get vaccinated. They've got sites everywhere. Downtown on the green, they're out there every day. A doggone gas station. I mean, they're everywhere. Get vaccinated. I bet you, I saw a piece, Harry, on, you know, they're about to launch a vaccine for cancer. I bet you people will line up for that.
I wouldn't do that.
They won't ask no questions.
Let me tell you, that's about time, right?
And you know what I would do? I would tell people, you can't get this vaccine unless you get the other vaccine.
This opened up the door for now, you know, especially with the method they're using, the mRNA. It should lead to a lot of other vaccines.
Well, we'll see how many people, we'll see how many people turn down the cancer vaccine. We'll see if they protest that, Harry.
Hey, look, if you could create a vaccine that's going to make me skinny, I'll be on that line 10 times tomorrow.
We'll see who'll get on that line, Harry. It'll be like the Soul Train line.
I'll be on that line 10 times tomorrow.
People, get on the love train. They'll be like, get on the vaccine train. Yes, people are so janky. I just read a piece on this cancer vaccine. I guarantee you, Harry, there'll be no protest. I guarantee you. They don't care if they had to kill live babies for it. They're like, we need the cancer vaccine. But the COVID-19, oh no, we don't know what's in it. The mark of the beast. The cancer vaccine? We'll see who protests that. Anyway, let's go. All right, it's 10 o'clock, good people.
See, the good thing about, you should just be, you know, like me. Don't believe in anything. Then nothing could harm you, right? So it's like, there's just no way I'm going to have the mark of the beast injected into my arm because I don't believe in the mark of the beast. So there you go.
I'm just glad I don't believe that.
Yeah. Okay,
I don't believe that. So we all right. So we gotta take a break.
Be right back.
You know how we do at the 10 o'clock hour. We shut it all down, and then we come on back with a fresh feed. But come back because I'll be here talking to the Elm Shakespeare, so we can talk about their thing. Which, if it's Taste of Fear 2, that means they must have done this last year. I don't follow these scary things, so I don't know.
Abs, you should do it.
No, I'm not doing it. They say in the thing, if you have mobility issues, don't do it.
So they're saying if you can't run. It's scary. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Love Baz Love Talk on WNHH LP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio. And we'll be right back. Don't change that channel on the dial because, you know, we're playing music. And then, you know, hit that link on the next notification of Facebook. So, right back. Yeah, I think it's on my side. My camera's beating. You just froze. I don't know, just froze, so I don't know.
You did too. Yeah, I think the weather is changing.
Right,
I gotta upgrade my Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Hi, this is Bella. And you are listening. WNHHLP1O3.5FM
New Haven streaming
live
at
www..
New Haven Independent.
No, yay. Yeah.
Perfect. .org.
.org.
Yay. And welcome back. The Love Baz Love Talk on WNHH LP 103.5 FM. And let me let our guest in. I was looking at it. It is Fear 2. So they must have had it last year. I can't believe you're not involved in this. So we could have a TikTok video of Babs being terrified.
No, that would not be entertaining.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I'm here to tell you.
I'm here to tell you,
Harry, it would not be entertaining.
You know, there's plenty of viral videos of people going through haunted houses and stuff and being terrified.
Nope.
I think you could go viral.
And I'm not in any of them. So let me say hi to, Gracie is there. Hi, Gracie. She's probably going to come right on it at 10:15. So she's got 5 minutes. No, Harry, why don't you do it?
Hello.
Hey, hello, darling.
How are you? I know. I love that. I was like, oh my goodness. Represent.
Yeah. Hi, Gracie.
How are you, my friend?
How are you?
Hold on, let me get this lighting situation right.
Listen, you know, you thespians are concerned.
You already
about
know. I know. Always know how to find my light,
girl.
You already know.
The stage is the world for entertainment.
There we go. Now we can see me.
How are you, beautiful one?
Okay. How are you?
Listen, I'm holding up.
And I am here to hold space for you too, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You always
Yes.
But we're here to talk about A Taste of Fear.
Yes. A Taste of Fear 2.
Was there A Taste of Fear 1?
There was A Taste of Fear 1. There was. We had we did it with the teen troupe last year.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the first time we were like, you know, pandemic, we don't know what's going on. Let's try this out. And so we tried it last year with the students. I wasn't physically involved. I was working. I was in the middle of my neurological disorder thing with my legs.
How's that going,
and so,
by the way,
it's going, I am mobile.
Okay.
I'm going back and forth between my cane and not my cane. But I'm back on stage, which is great. This is my first show, live show doing, which I'm very excited about. It's nice to be with old friends and new friends. But last year, yeah, I was working the door and, you know, helping people in, and we got hit with a cold, cold spell one night. It was like 20 degrees outside and people still came and they were walking around in the park. It was so cold that night. Oh my goodness. But the lighting and just the spookiness of the park, the fog machines, just everything about it. The park was like alive. You felt it.
Yeah.
And this time around, yeah, I was like, whoa. And this time around, we're like, we decided to really, you know, it was our pilot project. Let's see how this goes. And we're like, this was fun. Let's try this again. And so this time around, we decided to do it with a professional company of actors. They're all equity actors in the
really?
That are doing it. Yes, everyone is an equity actor in this. And we're doing some fun, spooky stuff.
Interesting, because, you know, I'm thinking Elm Shakespeare. I'm thinking, okay, how are we going to make Shakespeare scary? But it's not about Shakespeare, is it?
It is. Yeah, it's scenes from Shakespeare. Yes. It's scenes from Shakespeare, some from Faustus. We took some scenes from Faustus too, but it's Hamlet. It's Henry III, it's Titus Andronicus, Macbeth. There's a lot of spirit world and spookiness.
Like that, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of death and gore and you know, in Shakespeare, you know, people losing heads and arms and legs and things like that. So, you know, it's definitely par for the course. And with the amazing, amazing lighting job that Jamie Burnett is doing. And, oh my goodness, what's her name? Karen Black, I believe is her last name. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, Karen. The set designer is, So last year there were no like platforms or anything that the actors performed on. You just kind of took a little tour around the park to each little station, and you saw a little scene that the actors performed. But this time we actually built up platforms for each little scene, and you will be taken from one scene to another. And in between each scene, there's ghouls that will guide you to the next scene. And, you know, we also play, so the main actors are also playing, when we're not playing in a specific scene, we're also playing the ghouls that are guiding you from one scene to the next. And just that you know, I think Elm Shakespeare has just a really great way, especially with the set designs that they use, of using the elements of the park itself and nature to make things, you know, the fact that, you know, the trees are dying, the seasons are changing, and the leaves, that there's a group of, I don't know exactly, ooh, my light just, my light there. There's a group of I'm not sure who they are, but they're in the park, in Edgerton Park, and I know they're a group of people with special needs, and they're raking leaves and they're doing all kinds of like work in the park And we see them all the time. They're always so excited to see us, and they'll, you know, they'll watch us perform. But they like take the leaves that they raked and they'll bring them to us and put them in a pile for us and really help us. So like, just watching, you know, every day coming into the park and watching the park transform for us. And the fact that, you know, I mean, I don't know, I'm hoping that the weather really cooperates with us. This nor'easter that just came through is like, really?
Yeah, it's like
around, yeah, it's like hanging, it's hanging. So I'm hoping that it'll do what it needs to do and it'll go away in time for this weekend. Like, just do what you need to do. Go away in time for the spooky weekend so that we can have some good, scary times in the forest.
Wow. Wow. So, oh my God. So, I mean, who's the age group? Like, can little kids see this, or
so
can
I would
kids
say
go? Can, who can go and see this and be like something for everybody, or
so
is it too scary?
I think the little ones, it might be a little too much for them. There is blood, there is gore, there is beheadings and drownings, and you know, it's Shakespeare. Shakespeare can be grimy.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and it is Halloween, you know. So I would say the little ones, they might be shook.
Okay.
For sure. Okay. But you know, like as far as Hamlet and his ghost, his father's ghost, you know, so there's ghosts in this. So you'll see that type of thing. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think that that you will be scared of Hamlet's father's ghosts, but the scene itself is very otherworldly.
Okay.
There's a lot of otherworldly.
Start, Gracie? What time?
So there's two shows. There's one that's, yeah, so it's October 29th through the 31st. There's actually, we're having two shows on Halloween. So it's two shows every night, one at 6 o'clock and one at 8:30. Right?
Oh.
Yes, 6 o'clock and 8:30 every night. So two performances.
That's a lot.
Each time.
Isn't
yes.
A lot?
It is a lot, but it's fun. And it's I think it's about an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay.
Each one
okay.
or so.
Okay.
Yes, you do have to get a ticket. Tickets are free. We do suggest a donation, as always. You know the arts. We need money.
Okay.
We need, but
yes,
it is free. Yes, you know. You can register online at elmshakespeare.org/fear. All the information is on the website as to how to come through. But if for whatever reason there is some sort of inclement weather that we're going to have to cancel the event, we will let people know 90 minutes beforehand on our website.
Okay.
On our website so that you can know beforehand. We're hoping, like I said, we're like this, hoping that that's not the case. But
oh, thank you, Harry.
Thank you, Harry.
So slow it down a little bit. There we go. So. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. If you scroll down some more, it's on there. The information's
right
on there.
Yes,
there.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Taste of Fear. There it is.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So it's a very, very talented group that I'm really, really excited to be working with. Some people that I've never worked with before that are just the creme de la creme.
Well, the fact that you have equity actors doing this is pretty impressive. Like,
yes.
You know, I mean, this is a well thought out thing if you're using actor, you know, equity actors.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Impressive. I kind of
yes.
Like that. I love the whole concept of this. I'm not going to come because I don't like scary things. I can't do it. I am really chicken liver. I can't do it. But I'm gonna send people. I'm like, oh, you should go.
Yes, send them.
yes, I'll send people. But I can't do scary movies. I don't even like scary trailers, right? Like, I can't.
Oh, I love it. I love spooky. I love scary. I will like be home, all the lights off in the middle of the night. I love it all. Like, if it's gonna be scary, I want it. Give it all to me. I'm here for it all. Thrillers, gore, all of it. Yeah, I'm here for it. In the show, I'm playing one of the scenes. I'm playing. It's because we sort of piecemealed the script, so we took, you know, scenes from here and scenes from there, and kind of like created these scenes. And in one of them, I'm literally like conjuring up, conjuring spirits to help me to help me perform some evil. I need my evil spirits to help me. You know what I mean? I'm like, please help me, because I need to go do my thing, right? And not for nothing, but the costumes, Rebecca Wells put her foot in it. The costumes are amazing. I also play one of the head witches of the moon and the night. And the headdresses and just the beauty and the smoke. When I tell you, I was like, we are fierce. And then in one of them, I play Marcus Andronicus. Mm-hmm. And I have a sword and I'm just a badass. And I haven't had a sword in my hand in a very long time. And
I can see your
broad sword. Listen,
the joy about this.
The joy with the sword. Yes.
Oh, so great to tell me, because you've been doing Shakespearean pieces for quite some time. What is it about this? What is it about the bard that keeps you rooted and connected to it?
I feel like I feel it in my soul. I feel like when I hear it being spoken in my head, what happens is like there's a translation that happens in my head. And it's like I hear it in my own words, in my own world, especially when I hear people who look like me doing it. I went to see Classical Theater of Harlem in New York City this summer. And just hearing.
I saw the Merry Wives.
Oh, I didn't get to see that one.
Shakespeare in the Park.
Yes. And there's something about.
And it was Jamaican inspired, Caribbean inspired. Girl, I've never seen anything like it.
But you see, there's something about it's international. It's otherworldly. It speaks to everyone and anyone who. But I believe that what has happened to it as time has gone on is that it's become.
It wasn't Caribbean. It was African inspired, because it was Nigerian in its. It was Nigerian and Ghana and all the things in one. Right. It was very much that.
Very African diaspora.
Sorry,
nice.
I need to jump in, but
No. Yeah.
I wanted to, like, because I there's a whole African scene in there with dancers and spirits and the whole nine. And I was like, okay, this is not the Shakespeare I know, but
right?
But I loved it.
But that's the thing. Yeah. It's like there seems to be this idea as to the how Shakespeare is supposed to be. And I feel like we're trying to get away from this idea that Shakespeare can't be transformed and played with and come out of different mouths and it still have the same power. And it sounds different when it comes out of different bodies. I feel like there's a lot of times that we feel like this need to make... to ignore the fact that certain words coming from certain bodies are going to have a different connotation no matter what you say. You cannot have this colorblind casting that people talk about. You can't. Like, because no matter what, I'm Black. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can say what you want to say, but this is a Black body that I'm bringing to everything. You know, everything that I'm doing, I'm Black.
Mm,
You know? So yes. that's the lens that I see it in. And that's how I hear it when I see it, when I'm doing Shakespeare. And so to me, it's like, I want to make sure that other people see and hear what I see and hear, because it took me a while to see and hear the fact that this was for me, that this was for me, that this was for us, that these words do belong in my mouth. You know, that this is my language, that I don't need to change these words for it to fit in my mouth and be my words. You know, like a lot of times you'll see a version like probably like what you saw, and people like, I feel like they changed the dialogue. No, they didn't. They did not change the dialogue at all, because they didn't need to.
Yeah.
They didn't need to. And that's the beauty in the words. They don't have to.
I know? That's a good thought. That's a good way to sort of have people understand Shakespeare and the need for why it is still being performed.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's time, absolutely.
Lately. Mm-hmm. And you know, y'all doing this for Halloween, you know, when I asked you at the top of the set, I was like, you know, Shakespeare and Halloween, but once you ran the list of all the things, and you put them together, all the scenes and all the stories, it lends itself very well to Halloween. A very sophisticated Halloween, I might add, though.
Yes. And the thing is, it depends on who you talk to about what Halloween is and what Halloween means to them. You know, for some people, Halloween is, you know, skeletons and the devil. And very sinister things and darkness and black magic and that. And for other people, that's not what it means at all. And there's this whole idea of witches being evil too. And this connotation of, like I said, the darkness, and voodoo and, you know, like, the dark arts and anti-Christian and pagan. And for some people, that's not necessarily what it means. It's more playful. It's more a playful thing. And that witches aren't necessarily, you know, it's not a sinister thing. That right. It's more playing with alchemy and the arts and being in touch with the moon and the stars and the earth and nature and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a very broad meaning as far as like what Halloween is, and ritual and spirits. What that can mean for people. And I feel like we have a little bit of all of that in this show.
So will this become part of, so are y'all thinking about Taste of Fear 3?
Oh, I believe so. I think so. I absolutely think so.
Because if you had people come out last year during the pandemic, you know what it's going to be this year, because people are chomping at the bit to be outside.
I know. People just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think for us too, I mean, for me, just as an artist, it's just an exciting, it's the first thing that I've done since the pandemic.
Really?
Like first thing live that I've done since the pandemic. You know, everything else that I've done has been virtually. Everything else that I've done has been virtually. You know, with Elm Shakespeare, with Westport Playhouse, with Collective Consciousness. That's the kind of stuff I've been doing all online. And now to be able to actually be in front of a live audience is exciting. It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. And to be, like I said, working with some professional people who are just as excited to be up there working. And it's fun. It's a fun show that we're doing, you know. We're going up there and being silly kind of too. Mm-hmm. Playing a witch is fun, you know, just sort of getting into your body and just, I don't know.
I love that it's at the park. Like, I mean, yes. Eglinton Park is the Elm Shakespeare's home.
Yes.
But I love that this is not just your average haunted house kind of thing.
No, not at all.
You know, like this is a whole production, and it's outside, and people can walk it,
mm-hmm.
And bring their families and just be and see the park in a different way.
Yes, and the thing, the park is always, you know, it is its own character always, okay. In all of our productions. You know what I mean? Because it is there, we very much incorporated, and you know, like I said, I'm hoping that the gods are on our side and that the sky is clear and that we're actually able, because I think it's almost supposed to be a full moon on Halloween. Yeah. So, you know, and there's a lot of referencing to the moon to and all of that.
Let me shift gears a little bit.
Yes.
Denzel Washington and Frances McDormand are doing the tragedy of Macbeth. And some are saying this is probably the best film ever made. And so, what will this do for a renewed interest in Shakespeare and the language of Shakespeare? I mean, this is not Denzel's first turn in a Shakespearean film. Like, I watched him in the first film and I thought he was wonderful and I loved every minute of it.
Is that Much Ado, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I loved him in Much Ado.
I loved him. And I thought, wow. I thought that was fantastic. I mean, we all love Frances McDormand, but this is heavy. Like, this is one of Shakespeare's heaviest, it's not the heaviest, but it's one of the heavyweights. And the look of it and the feel of it. I mean, I would say I'm very surprised in this day and age that this kind of film is being made. You know what I mean? Like, because we're so used to the big blockbuster shoot 'em up, space galactic kinds of things, and this is art. Like, you will see real artistic turn on this. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, tell me what your thoughts when you first heard that this was being done, and I'm sure you saw some of the trailer. And for an actress of your caliber, I mean, this has got to warm your heart in some kind of way to see a Black man in this leading role doing a part that was not written for a Black man. Shakespeare wasn't writing about. I mean, he was writing about Black people, but not like this.
Not him. Listen, when I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw, I can't even remember exactly what it was with the trailer. And I said, hold the phone. I'm sorry. What is happening right now? And then when I really saw what was happening, and I have a tendency not to look at too many trailers because they give away too much for me. And I like to just kind of go in as blank as possible. I lost my mind completely. And I literally cried. I was in tears because of the magnitude of it. And I just love Denzel in general. But then, you know, and then I had to just start digging and see who's doing what, who's in it, who's in it. I need to know when's it coming out, who's coming with me. Like, I needed to just know who, like, are we getting people together? It's a celebration. Like, it's one of those, like. And I thought to myself, as I was digging, this is a wonderful connection. It's funny that you say that, the connection between this Macbeth and Elm Shakespeare. So when we did Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. the gentleman that played Mercutio is in Macbeth.
No! With
Denzel Washington.
No!
Yes, he is! Yes, he is! Yes,
oh
he is!
Oh my God, how serendipitous!
Yes, yes, he is. He graduated from Yale. And there's another person who also graduated from Yale. They were in The 12th Night. Did you see The 12th Night that Carl Coldfield did?
Yes.
They were in that. She's also in that 12th Night. So, and I feel like there's one other person from Yale, black actor from Yale that that also got scooped up. That is in that film. So, his name is the person that was in the Elm Shakespeare. His name is James Wardle. James,
oh, yeah.
Yes. So James is in.
Yes.
James
yes.
is in the movie. Yes. So, Celebration.
Like, oh, I know him. I know her.
Literally. So I was just like, oh my goodness. So, and you know, it's theater people in this movie too, which changes things. Right?
It would make sense, though. Well, or maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
To me, it makes sense. If that's what you're going to do, I mean, they did it too in Much Ado, you know, when they were doing Much Ado. It was a lot of theater people who were doing that movie. If you're going to do something like that, most likely they usually are picking theater people to do that kind of thing. I think that obviously, you know, we haven't seen it, but I'm excited for it.
I am too.
I think that it's going to, I hope that it brings more people to the movie theaters. I hope that it opens people's eyes up to, to the fact that, you know, we are not a monolith. You know, I feel like I swear it's, what's today? Today is Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the fifth time that I've said that this week. That Black people are not a monolith.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we can do Shakespeare. I mean, we do Shakespeare.
We do everything. We can do everything, but I feel like
cast in a film though, Gracie,
in
like,
this magnitude.
I mean,
you know,
Giselle is otherworldly, like, but the fact, but he's Black still, right? Like yes. I mean, they could have chosen all kinds of people to be in that, but they chose him. You know, he's in this film, larger than life. I mean, they're already saying Oscar buds and all these other kinds.
Oh,
of
Oh yeah.
Like, this is the best one ever done, and the fact that it's black and white is just, I mean, who does a film in black and white in this hella color world, right?
Not only that, but like, I feel like the last movie that was done in black and white actually won a bunch of Oscars. It was The Artist. And it wasn't, and wasn't it also Silent?
Yes.
Yes. Like, Silent and in black and white. People like, excuse me?
Can I turn
that
up?
I can't. Like, people couldn't, you know, a lot of people. And the thing is, you know, I mean, the Oscars, that's a whole nother category of just, I'm not sure who's making movies for Oscars and awards and what have you. And I know that Denzel is definitely not that person. And he doesn't pick projects like that, you know? I know that Denzel got involved in this project for a much bigger reason. I don't know what his reasoning is, but there's a bigger reason. There's always a bigger reason for him. And the fact that the people that he picked, I'm sure he had a hand in picking who was going to be his, because James, if I'm not mistaken, is like his right-hand man in the play, in the movie. The fact that he had a hand in picking what actors, especially these up-and-coming actors that, you know, just came out of grad school, you know, and are about to just show the world all of their talent is amazing to me. And I just can't wait to see it. I just can't wait to see it. I just feel really excited and proud. I don't know why I feel proud. I feel proud. I don't know where the pride comes from.
You know why? Because you're a Shakespearean trained actress, actor. And for the folks that do this body of work, it's nice to sort of see what you do reflected in a larger genre of acting. Like,
yes.
You know, I mean, yeah. They're not making Shakespearean films every single day, but there are a lot of rom-coms based on, you know, some of the Shakespearean stories. We know, right?
Lots, yeah.
But to be a Shakespearean trained actor, because it's not a lost art, it's not dead, it's not, you know, this. If anything, it'll usher in a renaissance of people wanting to know, maybe discovering more about,
yeah.
Well, what is the other Shakespearean, like, what else is Shakespearean repertoire? Like, what?
I think Americans too. I think the American thing, because, you know, British people, there's, you know, they're constantly making Shakespeare. They're constantly making Shakespeare movies. Yes. It's like in their blood. It's like what they do, you know, but like here in America, you know, it's kind of like we think it's a British thing. So to have a bunch of American actors actually doing it, I think that's another big thing. And to say that this is like probably the best and it's not British, is another big thing for people.
That's a good point.
I'm here for all of that.
I am
all of it.
I am. I think this would be a good date night, and even if it's just myself.
I'm so excited! I can't wait. I think it's about Christmas Day.
Oh,
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Yes, I think people will. I love the point that you made that. You know, we associate Shakespeare with the UK so much, and rightly so. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. So.
But when we do it here, it does open it up to an audience that otherwise probably, you know, only remember Shakespeare from like high school.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So I think it bodes well for the teen troupe too, that they can sort of see you and other people grow up with, lean into Shakespeare as not an occupation, but as something that they can do beyond what, you know, being teenagers. Like,
absolutely.
You can grow into this and
absolutely
make a life out of this.
Absolutely. Like I've said this before, I feel like if you can, I feel like Shakespeare is a key when it comes to being an actor. If you can unlock,
I've heard that before too.
If you can unlock that, you got this. You can do pretty much anything else. You can do anything else. You know, it's kind of like the whole, if you started in the theater, moving on to film and television, you're fine. But going the opposite way, it's much harder. You know, for a film and television person to do theater. It's just, it's a different medium. It's a different talent altogether. You know, in film and television, you know, there's a lot of cutting, there's a lot of editing and what have you, as far as, you know, theater, it's, you're right there right now. It's this moment. Can't go back. This is what it is. Exactly. This is what it is. We can't make you look good. We can't edit you to sound a certain way. This is what it is, you know? So if you've got these, you know, you've got these theater actors, Shakespearean theater actors that are trained, and you're moving that to the film, it's just going to be insane. I already know it's going to be insane. And the fact, and I feel like taking away the color and making it just black and white brings, I mean, Macbeth is just such a raw play. It's grimy. I love how grimy and nasty it is. It's just nasty. And I love Lady Macbeth. She's just She's one of my favorite roles that I've played.
So I was going to ask you. Are there some roles that you long to play? Female or male, doesn't matter.
In the Shakespeare world?
In the Shakespearean world.
It's funny because of late I really wanted to play Hamlet.
Whoa.
And that just recently came. I was like, I think I want to play Hamlet. Yeah, and actually Macbeth.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards male roles.
And why? Because do they feel meatier? Do they feel more
powerful? Meatier. There's more male roles than female roles in Shakespeare. Yeah, I think that those, right off the top of my head, those are the two. And then the third would have to be Cleopatra.
Oh,
because you know,
yes,
because Cleopatra,
Elizabeth Taylor can't be the lone Elizabeth Taylor.
No,
the lone Cleopatra.
No. Yes, yes. I would just, you know, these women in power. I really want to and also I feel like. I feel like the role of Cleopatra is so, I don't know. I feel like people have this idea as to
misunderstood or
just what she should also physically look like. And I'm not even necessarily talking about what race she should be. Like, I feel like she's supposed to look a certain way for people. And I want to be here to kick all kinds of doors down with that. I feel like people have, I want to play with gender a lot. There's a woman who is, it's basically what she does as far as her work in Shakespeare. She's one of the actors. Her name is Lisa Volpe. She plays around with gender and Shakespeare specifically. And I've just really been watching her work and just listening to her talk. And I'm like, I really, really want to do more of that type of work, in playing with gender, and just thinking about gender in general. I've been working with, one of the classes that I'm teaching at Southern right now is a devised theater class that I'm teaching with Sarah Bowles. And the devised piece is called Out of Bounds. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about breaking out of the bounds, out of a lot of boundaries that are created for us, you know, and one of the topics that we're talking about is gender, and gender identity, gender expression, gender attraction, and just what gender means, all of that, breaking that down. And so there's been a lot of that has been on my mind a lot about pronouns and the binary and all that being a social construct and what we're taught from childhood and how that just kind of sticks in our heads and pinks and blues and yellows and purples and just color, you know what I mean? Like color, like just simple things, yes. The way that shirts button and the way that belts put on and who should be picking up boxes and erasing the boards in classrooms. And just, it's mind blowing. And so like, I really want to delve more into, just playing with gender when it comes to my craft in general, really
has a lot to play with there.
Yes, lots to play with.
Well, we are looking forward to this weekend of Taste of Fear 2.
Me too.
And I want people to go to elmshakespeare.org if they want, because they got to get a ticket.
Yes. Tickets are required. They are free. Tickets are free.
Yes, they are free. They're asking for a donation.
So yes.
You can get there. I'm sure there'll be a jar somewhere on the grounds where people can put some money in there too.
Always, yes.
You know. And,
yes. Three nights.
Yeah.
The 29th, the 30th, and the 31st. One show at 6 o'clock and then one at 8:30. So two shows every night.
I love
the little ones might be a little bit too scared, but 12 and up,
yeah,
11 and up. You know your child, you know your child, you know.
Okay, true parent, you know your child.
Because you know, the little ones. Who knows? Maybe they don't care. They might not be scared. You know, I don't know. Well, some little kids are just not really scared like that. You know,
Harry has a young granddaughter who is about four. She loves all the scary stuff. Like, even Harry can sit with her for the scary stuff. So there you go.
So
here it is, y'all. I want you to check it out. I'm not going to go because I can't do scary things. I've been not going to do scary things in a park. But I'm going to invite people to go, and I'm going to invite people to like go check it out because I know lots of people who love this kind of thing. So thank you, Gracie. It's such a joy to see you.
Always a joy to see you, Babs. Always. Oh my gosh, and the fact that we're matching our earrings. Always. Always. Okay, listen to us. We are so amazing.
Yes, girl. Thank you so much, Gracie, for taking time out of your day to come talk
Absolutely.
About health, beer,
Absolutely.
I will see
Thank
you around.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, always.
Thank you.
You come back anytime, girl. Anytime.
Thank you. Love you. Thank you, Harry.
Thank you. All right, Harry. I'm out of here. This was a good conversation. Always a good time to talk to Gracie because I just adore her. And I love Elm Shakespeare and Miss Goodhart. Thank you very much for helping coordinate this conversation.
We have that same person in the room.
I think they're just hanging out because we're about to leave.
I know. I'm like,
I was like, listen, I'm out. So I will see you on the other side tomorrow, Harry. Mercy Quay. Talking about the narrative project and all the stuff that they're doing over there, or to having the conversation with her. So, thank you, Harry, for a good day.
Thanks,
y'all.
Mm-hmm.